Hello from Pieter Derkhuis. If you're listening to me, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay with Radio Today. Radio Today. Radio that delivers.
Switch on to 1485 AM. Radio Today.
Good morning and welcome to a place called Melville. We're back from our sabbatical. Well, not quite.
Been a long time.
All these holidays and things.
I've missed the studio.
It's great to be back. A place called Melville is that show where we learn and we talk to lots of interesting people in Melville. And boy, this week is no different, Marla.
Yes, I think it's a bit of a bumper crop.
My goodness. So, come on, tell us who
we've got. Okay. Beyond extreme. Now we're talking about really beyond extreme. People that push themselves to the end. Very much survivor type. In fact, I think it supersedes survivor in terms of endurance. We've met a guy called Louis Grieff. Now, he's done quite a lot of TV work and he's written books and things, but he takes things to the absolute limit. Now, he's 62, which he hasn't mentioned in his interview, and he's swimming down the Zambezi amongst all the sharks and the sharks are towards the mouth of the river and stuff.
It'll take him a couple of months or something to do it.
Exactly, yeah. And he does this. He also hasn't mentioned what he does is he actually helps small kids along with these survival endurance things that he does. Gosh.
Are you looking for a sponsor or two?
He's looking. Well, he gets big sponsors, actually. I mean, he's got the helicopter company. He gets huge, big sponsorships. I mean, I think Red Bull should come and sponsor him at this rate. It's just right for them. Okay. And then also we spoke to Aldi Bongers. Now, Aldi Bongers is also he's a stranger to us so far, but he also lives in Melbourne, and he's another Melville writer. And has written quite a few books. And we're going to chat to him about his two latest books.
Helen
good.
Diamond?
Yeah, that's called,
one of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and the other one's called Cornucopia. But why do we give it away? Well, and then we'll tell you what to do in Melville during the week.
Really great interviews to come back to. So should we get stuck in? Let's go and join who we... we talked to Extreme first. Beyond Extreme.
Very much Beyond Extreme. Now.
We're with Louis Grieff, who is in West Dean at this quite astonishing house, but we won't go into that because Louis's got lots to tell us about. Now, if anybody's a sponsor, this is something that you really want to take note of.
Yes, absolutely.
Louis's an extreme adventurer, and he's pretty well known, having been on TV a lot and written a lot, and this is no exception. Welcome on to Radio Today, Louis, and welcome to a place called Melville. And do tell us now what your next one is. You kick off you literally kick off in the water in July. Now, what are you going to do?
Okay. I'm going to be swimming, or river gliding, actually, on a riverboard down 2,300 kilometers of Zambezi water.
Yeah.
And it's going to take me I'm hoping it's going to take me less than 2.5 months. The last trip I did, it was 3.5 months.
Well, last time you got concussed a bit and you had pneumonia and all kinds of
things. I had pneumonia and I had two broken fingers.
And you had to save your saviour.
I had to save my rescue kayak, who almost drowned.
That's right.
So that was quite hectic. I basically went down what they classify as a killer rapid.
Yes.
Quite high.
Oh, they're all killer rapids.
Yes, they're all killer, but anyway. Rapids basically suck you under anything from 100 to 140 meters.
Especially, I suppose, if you've got a board.
Well,
you've got a bigger surface. Yeah.
Yes, the board I'm taking as is a rigid board, where the other one was inflatable, and people said I went down on a Lilo. But anyway.
If only.
If only, yes. If only they knew.
Lay there with a cocktail and they're getting a tan.
Yes, yeah, could they? But anyway, so this time I'm going down with the rigid board, and I'm also hollow, so it's got a lid, and I can put some clothing in. Whereas the last time, the reason I actually got double pneumonia was the fact is that we couldn't link up with my main crew. The satellite battery said that it was full. In the meantime, it was dead.
my gosh.
So we couldn't get the land crew close by to then change and get food and whatever. And Foster, the at this village, Foster then brought the two film crew, a fish, a blanket, and a mattress. Hmm. And I slept on a log. So, which is quite nice because the log had quite a lot of scorpions in it. And because my fingers were
very lovely. Yeah,
my fingers were numb from the pain and stuff. I just stuck it in there and had the scorpions bite and sting me and whatever. And I then, the following morning, put some in a little container. And every time I had severe pain, I just let him sting me again. So this is the stuff that we basically
and this
went
makes
through.
Incredible viewing. I mean, I think that this is much more exciting than most of the TV adventure stories. I mean, this is something people can watch episode by episode and see all these amazing things that happen. Mm. And there are more things because this is a very well planned exercise. I mean, even though it's 2.5 months, you say, huh?
Yes, 2.5 months. And
how many episodes come out of that?
Well, I'm aiming for 3.
And this is National Geographic and Chinese TV and actually so many stations all over the world and in South Africa. You're working with MNET. MNET. Oh, sorry, I always do that.
Yeah. There's National Geographic. They are quite keen on it. And then there's LIC, which is the biggest network in China. They got 1.3 billion viewers.
Yeah. So, I mean, people who are involved in big adventure things like that. I mean, I'm thinking about insurance people and stuff like that, or medical things, like, Netcare, people like that. They would be wonderful sponsors and things.
It's very great to get them on board. Also be a vehicle. We haven't got any vehicle sponsors at this point in time.
Okay, you've got a helicopter, but no vehicles.
Yes, there we go. So I might have the helicopter drag me all the way down.
I've got a feeling you're not going to have a problem with sponsorship somehow with all this media coverage.
I'm talking to sponsors that are quite keen. You have to give them exposure time.
Yes,
so
of course.
If they look at it and say, okay, it is worth us sponsoring the vehicles.
Because you've got people doing that for you, so that it's actually very well organized.
Yes.
So people will know exactly what they get. Now tell us what viewers are going to see. They're going to start off seeing...
Well, they're going to see the terrain, which is, the topography changes quite a lot, and it's quite open towards...
This is Zambia, Zimbabwe, where you start.
The last time we started just below Angola. Quite far up. And the problem was is we didn't want to go into Angola because the rebels were shooting the fishermen for their catch.
Oh, gosh.
So, my goodness.
Yeah,
and then
moment.
And then from Malibiza, we drove a 4x4s to get to Caribia Bay on Lake Kariba.
Yes.
And the war vet shot at us. But, I mean, they were so bad shooters. And, at 3 o'clock in the morning, we were basically doing 140, 150 Ks on gravel roads just to get through to the end.
Adventure.
Whether they bad shooters or not, I'm sure it added to the excitement.
Yes, it did add, well, I mean, I was really hyped up from all that adrenaline.
Exactly.
Anyway. And then that basically gets very mountainous towards Mozambique. My crew will not be going with me. I'll be taking action cameras with me.
And you'll be going down the river on a board, a board.
Yes.
Actually, not on it, holding a board, yeah.
Well, it comes up to your, just below your chest. The rest of your body's in the water. You've got a fin.
And you've got how many kilometres to go down this river?
2,300 kilometres.
2,300 kilometres on a small board. And you go through terrifying, I can't say terrain because it's water, but I mean you're going through. There must be more crocs in the Zambezi than anywhere else.
Yes, it is. That's why it's classified as the world's most dangerous river, purely because of the. That's what it looks like. Purely because of the concentration of crocodiles. When we first did it, there was 188,000 crocodiles.
Mm.
That was a meter and above. Anything below that, conservationists didn't count. Then there's hundreds of thousands of hippo, and then as you get down towards Mozambique, below Cahora-Bassa, then you've got the Zambezi shark, and they notorious man-eating shark.
Yes, of course.
And they don't show a dorsal fin. That's the problem. They will bump you, and if you start splashing around or whatever, that's when they attack. They come for the second time and attack.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
And they basically swim, about 500-odd kilometers upriver to spawn. That's the time when they spawn.
Okay.
And
this time when you're swimming, is that when they're going to be spawning?
Yes.
So that's July.
Yeah, so The pups are born in fresh water.
Yeah.
And as they grow older, they then swim down towards the sea. And
yes.
They then have that salination within their lungs and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
So that's the part. And also, I can't remember the village, but I think it was close to Luabu,
mm-hmm.
Where I climbed out of the water with everything, all the wetsuit and the gear and the gloves and whatever, and the villagers ran away. But something... Something must have happened because there was a little girl. There was a little girl that got torn in half, and she was laying on the banks. And I think they must have thought I killed her, or I must have been a river monster or something like that.
Sure,
and that's also one of the things we want to address.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then down Kahora Bassa, the mountains are quite high. They're 800 meters high. And I would have to find places where I've got to sleep on a ledge 200 meters high, about a meter wide.
So you literally do it all physically down this river?
Yes.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And that section is very, very dangerous in terms of rapids.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going on my own.
Yeah, and you've got so many rapids to go down. And, of course, what we haven't even managed to mention yet are all the in-between bits of excitement. You know, like you have some... bungee jumping even and stuff like that, but also very extreme stuff. I wish we could tell listeners. But anyway, we're going to have to revisit you, I think, closer to the time when you've got all these sponsors.
Well, and thank you very much
and thank you so much.
We need a website from you.
Yes, okay, you do. Where do these sponsors contact you?
Yeah, it's www.beyondxtreme.co.za. So it's Beyond Extreme.
Okay, Beyond Extreme without the first E in the extreme. Yes. So it's Beyond
Extreme.
.co.za.
And people can also go into Facebook.
And that's your company.
Yes.
And I think people seeing it will be most impressed at how organized it is. I mean, this is the most phenomenal thing. I mean, it sounds like a wild idea, but it's an organized wild idea. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, let's listen to a track by... another Melville woman, Yolanta Durner, and it's from her album Everlasting Day, and the track is True Words.
Trees leaning side by side in laughter, in a talking tide, and seagulls dipping wings upon a summer breeze, the whisper through this morning. And love's a spoken choice. So please don't talk to me, and do not turn your face away, and I will try and listen very quietly. Whisper through the shadows that hid us for so long. Give this silence rhythm now as words move into song. You and I can talk together.
We were made by God above, and there is no grace.
Hi, this is Mark Lottering, and if you're listening to me, then you are lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. Don't go anywhere.
Back in the studio with Morale Emond and Alistair Graham on the show A Place Called Melville. Morale, you were chatting earlier on about the next guest that we're going to talk to.
Yeah,
and we found out all about the diamond and all sorts of things. But it's interesting, I think his second book he talks about is quite controversial.
And I think so too. And you know, from both sides. It's from the conservative side and also from the other side.
Yes, but it's quite interesting what he's saying, that everything is not going to run out. It's just economics. But it's going to find out more.
Another one of Melville's fantastic writers. We have Aldi Bongers with us. In fact, we were with him. We were at his house. We got to chat about some of his publications. One that's published already on Amazon, and that's The Other Half, which is an amazing whodunit about the Cullinan
diamond.
It's called about The Other Half of the Cullinan Diamond. And then there's another book that you're coming up with, but we'll chat about that. So tell us a little bit about The Other Half.
Who got it?
Yeah, that's what Alistair asked me. He said,
Who did it? The Queen got a bit. The Queen got a lot of it, yes. Well, not the other half. She got the original first half. Yes. It's about when the Cullinan Diamond was discovered in the early 1900s, people on the mine speculated that there may have been another half exactly the same size.
In fact, we always thought the there was,
And that it maybe have got crushed in the equipment or just lost. So I fixated on that, and I actually wrote about the other half.
And did you base it on real facts? Did you do lots of research?
Not really. You know, it's all just, you know, things that I did a little bit of research specifically on the Cullinan mine itself.
Yeah.
And the circumstances surrounding the finding of the diamond and so on. From then on, it's fiction. The most interesting thing about the finding of the diamond is they found it on a farm of a man named Joachim Prinsloo.
Yes.
And he'd actually sold two farms before that because they found gold on the farms.
There's a man with the maddest tats.
Yes, absolutely. And then he ended up with the farm that the Cullinan mine ended up on. And he flatly refused to sell it. It was only sold after he died. His daughter sold it.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But anyway, so the other half is about the other half. And because of circumstances of finding it immediately after the original diamond, it actually becomes basically a good luck charm. And nobody knows it's a diamond. And it's it ends up going on adventures all over the world, goes through the First World War, the Second World War, ends up in South America.
And apparently it's a riveting read. I haven't read it, so I'm really interested to do that. Yeah. And so that's The Other Half by Aldi Bongers. And then you've got another one called, another non-fiction book out, which is another fascinating thing.
Yes.
But it's called Cornucopia, which is pretty well named from what I know about it.
Right. So that's about, as I said earlier, basically an anti-Malthusian viewpoint.
Yes.
Looking at our resources. And yes, it's a very positive book in the sense that the basic premise is that we're never going to run out of resources.
Right. Okay.
And the reason for that is that nothing on Earth really is a resource, in the sense that when we were very primitive, we drank from streams and we hunted animals and so on and so forth, and those were resources. Nothing is like that anymore.
Okay.
Even the water we use in our house is a man-made resource, because we actually take in a non-resource water, which is inaccessible to people. We're pumping it up to dams, treating it, and then sending it to the houses. So from the time we made fire and we learned how to, for example, turn poisonous foods into nutritious foods, we started actually creating man-made resources. That food was man-made. It was not a resource when it was poisonous.
This is coming at it from a very interesting angle. In other words, we're controlling our environment, you say.
Everything is built, as I call it, bootstrapping, in well-known computer kind of term.
Yes.
Everything is bootstrapped on everything that came before that, and things are getting more and more complex. Nothing is possible without what came before. If we weren't able to mine iron ore, we couldn't make fridges and things like that, cars.
So the idea is that we want to know how sustainable our future is.
That's it. Now, the problem is, first of all, there are two issues. The one is of numbers, size of things, and the other is of understanding how we actually apply our own ingenuity, which is what this is all about. First of all, the Earth is a vast resource. Well, non-resource that we can turn
that's
into
right.
a resource.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, 25 billion cubic miles.
Oh, there's our hydrogen.
Yes, so there we go.
A couple of them over there watching
have,
us.
We always have one.
And that's a trillion cubic kilometers, if you know.
Yeah.
In kilometers. And of that we use every year, everything we dig out of the earth is 25 cubic miles or 100 okay. cubic kilometers, which sounds like an enormous amount, but it would take us at that rate 100 million years to use up 1% of the volume of the earth.
Gosh.
And of course we're not going to be around anymore.
Gosh.
But that's not really the point. The point is scarcity or if you look at things like peak oil, people
yes.
saying, you know, run out of minerals. That
well,
is
people are going to say, what about fracking? You know?
Yes, sure. about fracking, yes. yes. running out of things is an economic concept. It's not actually a physical problem.
Okay.
We've just proven,
so it's
in fact,
actually control of things, really, isn't it? I mean, you're saying running out, it means that you can't, you aren't allowed to get some sorts of
it
things.
It simply means that it becomes too expensive to get something. Okay, so
yeah.
there's an enormous amount of oil in the crust of the
okay.
earth that
yeah.
has not even been discovered yet.
Right.
And now with fracking in the tar sands in Canada, for example,
yeah. Yeah.
you're starting to exploit resources that were not exploitable before. Why? Because our technology, the bootstrapping,
yeah.
we actually
yeah.
built the technology to do that.
Right. And do you think that things get better? Because, of course, cracking is contentious, as many other kinds of excavations and things are. But do you think that there's... that it's benign sort of thing? Is there a benign angle?
Well, specifically talking about fracking, there's... people don't realize they've been doing it for 40 years in America.
Okay.
And in that time, there's not been one single case of groundwater pollution.
Okay, which is what
or pollution of
people.
Any kind.
Oh.
Yes. And what they also don't understand is that they protest against the water usage and trucks coming up
of
to the
course.
Site and so on.
Yeah.
So that phase of the thing lasts for a few months, 2 or 3 months. They
right.
do the drilling, they get down to 5,000 or 6,000 feet.
Yeah.
They pack up and they go away and they leave a little room with a pump in it.
Yeah.
And that's it. If you were to do the same with wind power,
yes.
you would need probably 1,000 square kilometers
to put... expensive in a lot of ways.
So,
yeah.
so the point is, while we have these resources, it's the cheapest possible way of getting energy.
Okay.
And that's the way things have always worked. People,
but people
will always
are going to argue about with
absolutely,
you a lot.
They will. I understand that.
But I suppose that's why people read books. They,
yes.
they really want to argue, and
right.
or else... I mean, people don't really read books because they want to be comforted, because I know that you know the end is a comforting story
yes.
in this case.
This is all good news.
But it's yeah. but it's wonderful to set up this kind of argument for people. It's really healthy. I love it. So I'm also fascinated. And where can one get this book?
I just put it on Kindle as well.
Okay. Oh, really?
This week,
oh, so
yes.
this is,
yeah.
wow. Okay. Gee whiz. Oh, we are up to the minute.
But
and
anyway,
that's called Cornucopia.
Cornucopia, yes.
Yeah, yeah. By Eldie yeah. Bongers. That's Bongers.
That's right.
And Eldie is Eldie.
Correct.
And Cornucopia, everyone can work out or they can look it up.
Well, thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
So now you know all about the books and what to expect.
And what not to expect.
Let's go and join Yolanta again. This is also from the same album. What was it?
Valley of Redemption, I think, is the
that's
the
a
song.
Track. Oh, well, I'll tell you afterwards what it is.
Everlasting Day is the album.
Yes, Valley of Redemption is this track we're going to listen to now by Yolanta.
Thank you. I'm David Severs.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello from Michael Richard.
Hello from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
And this is exactly where we are. Alistair Graham and Marie Lehmond in the studio with a place called Millville. And this week we've got a nice full calendar, well, a week's calendar of events.
Actually, we do indeed.
And you go, and you know, you've got first-hand information about what's going on at the Coppies.
Well, Coppies are always an old favourite, but you need to be there on Sunday at 2 p.m. for the three-hour hike, Melville Coppies Central. That's the one where you find out all about the Coppies, the flowers, the rocks. Those million old rocks or whatever they are.
I remember, I think. Yes.
Talking to Wendy about that lot. No booking required, but the tours do leave promptly. Park opposite entrance at Marks Park Sports Club and Judith Road, Emerentia. 50 Rand per adult, 20 Rand per child. No dogs. The Lighthouse. How's the Lighthouse going? You've been there.
It's going very, very well. The film, I know that the film nights are excellent. That's Tuesday nights.
They have
big launches there. I haven't been to the comedy night, no.
Well, you must get there. You must get. I mean, you run.
Well, so must you, Alistair.
Anyway,
we'll share it. We'll share the night.
Comedy night. Tuesday night, documentary screening and talks. Wednesday night, drama night. Thursday night, artist night. And every night is lots of good food night and organic wines. Bamboo Farmers Market, Saturday 9 a.m. ish. to 2 p.m. We're talking about that this morning, exactly what time they open, but it's
they do open at 9. Some people are still unpacking their wares at 9, but still, then you know that they're really fresh.
Right. And I see Carol Lee.
That's right, Carol Lee at the Bamboo Art Gallery above has got another good exhibition, very good one, starting on Saturday and runs for just over a week. And on Saturday, you can get there any time from 9:30 to 4 for the opening. And I see there are quite a few Melville artists. Andrea Rolfe, superb artist, actually, who happens to live in Melville. I think she's in Fifth Avenue. And then I see there's Alette Swartz. I see there's Theo Kleinhans. But there are quite a few other people here. Yeah, and big names. So that's a super one. Now, you can just pitch up in any of those days, but you can especially go to the opening. And Sarki's Garage, I love chatting about because they're always a bit on the edge.
And they have interesting things, always.
And he's starting, Daval is starting a series of happenings now. And I think this one is quite interesting. It's a triple D happening.
Happenings.
And I'll tell you how that works. And this one's called Pot Scarf in Africa Fro. Now, I know it's in English and Afrikaans, so it doesn't matter what it's actually called. But the triple D stands for drums, didgeridoo, and drama, and that's what you can expect.
And you can go along and play yourself.
You can take your own little didgeridoos and things if you want as well. And of course, it's huge fun, and he says it's quite a soulful evening, but I think it sounds like a real hoot. So I would book. And be in on one of the first of these happenings. And the fantastic meals, of course. So book at Sarki, that's SaartJie, garage, at gmail.com. Easy peasy. It's that lovely four-course meal, usually North African type food.
Sounds good. We're coming to the end of the show. Please, if there's any more information that you've got, you want us to air, please let us know on 072-305-0281. It's great to be back. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget the podcast, available 7 p.m. tonight. And
Did I also mention that Sarki Garas was on Saturday? I don't think I did, but it is.
Well, you have now. Until next week, thanks for joining us.